Welcome back to Roaming with Restless Women. Today, I have my very first interior designer. Risha Walden is a leading expert in vegan interior design and the principal creative and owner of Walden Interiors. A graduate of the New York School of Interior Design, Risha has spent the last 15 years helping affluent homeowners create beautiful spaces that reflect their unique personalities and lifestyles. Her work spans primary residences, vacation homes across Vancouver, Palm Springs, New York City, and New Jersey. As a vegan, Risha is passionate about creating beauty without cruelty, offering luxury alternatives to the animal-derived products often used in interior design. She's bringing the vegan conversation off the plate and into the home. So, welcome, Risha.
Thank you so much, Julie, for having me here. I'm always excited to have great chats.
Oh, that sounds great. Well, we're going to have a good one, I think. Like I mentioned to you before the show, you're my first interior designer. And yay, I love it. So, for those of us who haven't had the pleasure of working with an interior designer before, can you describe kind of your day in the life? What, when a client calls you, how do you approach the conversation?
So it's a great question. The day in the life is always different, but working with a client usually involves a lot of research and conversation. So there's initial conversation to understand what they're looking to do and why they want to do it. That's probably integral because that will direct like how we're going to do it. And it's just getting information, understanding them, creating, starting to create this relationship because the more intimately I know you, and I'm going to be in your home, I'm going to be in your business, so there's no way away from it. And really, I'm creating the home for you. I'm trying to take your ideas, your mind, what you're looking for, and create that vision that is going to make you feel at home. So these conversations are really important at the beginning. Once we have a call on the phone, then it moves into the client's home. And that allows me to see where they're at what stage are they at, what expression have they done in the home. Plus, I can document the home, really get accurate measurements and pictures. And from there, once I have a robust picture of how they what they want to do, whether it's redesigning a kitchen, designing their living room, or in some cases it's from scratch drawings, like they're building a home. So
Nice,
I'll meet in
yeah.
their home and we'll go over the blueprints. And from there I go away, and that's where the work is done. And it can feel for the client that nothing's being done because I'm doing it all behind the scenes. I'm letting you have your time to do what you're good at. And that allows me to put together a whole vision presentation. And that's the whatever I need, whether it's pictures, elevations, drawings, product selection, memo samples, finished samples, whatever I need, I bring it back to you as the client, and then we go through everything, tweaking it. And I pride myself on understanding my client's aesthetic very quickly. So I would say on that first presentation, 80% I'm on board, you know. And then there's always those minor things. But it's important at this point, actually at the beginning point when I come to your home, is to make sure all the decision makers are present,
Oh,
because it's
yeah.
often it's not just the wife, you know, it's a couple, and they're both making decisions. And it's hard for them to be able to take the vision that I've presented to them and show it to their spouse and have the spouse, you know, jump on board. So,
Right, right.
and
'Cause they're going to
then
have questions
they're going to
that,
have, absolutely, right.
that only you can answer.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm taking my vision in my head, I'm trying to put it on some kind of concrete evidence. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be able to understand it all. So, and then be able to pass that information on to their spouse or partner and get them on board to move forward.
Exactly.
That's the key, is this communication, which is why understanding my client's needs and aesthetic and having these important conversations at the beginning allows much smooth sailing going forward, because then I'm addressing those particular needs because I understand then why are they doing this and what is their outcome. It may be, yeah, I want to have a prettier house, but it's always more than that. And beauty and pretty, and I can do those. But you can walk into a room and say, wow, I really like this room. It looks great. But then you end not end up using it because it's not created to function for your lifestyle. And that all is with lighting, seating, tables. There's nothing more frustrating than walking into a room and yeah, it can look beautiful, but the light doesn't allow you to see properly. So then you tend to not go in there because you're like, oh, I can't read a book because I can't, or whatever the case may be. So then, yeah. So then I see it through. Those are the projects that I like to see it all the way through. I take care of everything. I make it easy and stress-free for my clients. I have them approve everything so that they're on board. But the goal is to give them decisions that they can't make a mistake on. That is for them. And then I'm implementing so they can spend their time doing what they're good at. And all they have to do is the end come in and say, perfect, and get to enjoy it. Yeah.
Yes. So tell me about a time maybe when you have gone into a place or home and there's just no aesthetic. There's no, it's
Well,
bland or
yes.
it
I
doesn't
hear.
exist, you
I
know?
hear you. There's always an aesthetic. I may not like the aesthetic. Like I always make a joke. One of the big aesthetics is like 20-year college dorm room aesthetic, because they haven't done anything for 20 years. They've been busy building their careers, working with having children, trying to create a life, and they've really just done a catch-all of furnishings that they inherited, stuff from their dorm, literally couches that they had when and so I can't even tell you the number of times I've gone into a home and that is the aesthetic. So there is an aesthetic. It's not pretty, but there is an aesthetic.
What does it, but I think maybe those individuals are looking to build some sort of aesthetic
Absolutely.
and they
Yeah.
just don't know where to start. You know,
That's true.
that was me when I had built my first home. I look at it and I say, I don't have the eye.
Sure.
Like, I'm not someone who can put together a space and make it look beautiful. I don't have the eye. Now, my husband is an artist. And
Oh, okay.
so he can see the same space and just making one tweak, like move this picture from here to here,
Right.
makes it work for some reason. So how do you help somebody fill into an aesthetic?
Oh, that's a good question, because people, potential clients will often say, well, I'm not particular about any color, or I don't really care. And but they actually, yeah, they really do, but it's just identifying that. So it's asking those pointed questions, but it's also seeing how what they do have, because even though it may be catch-all, or there's always something in there that they're like, well, I really love the way this color is just so calming, or and their personality is really the clue to the aesthetic. And so as I get to know them and I hear them, I listen to them, I start creating a picture in my mind. I start having vision, and it often does not look like what they currently have, which is, well, not often. That's like 99% of the
Good.
time. It's not what they have, but they're always thrilled with the results. So, it's a little nebulous, and I can't say, oh, you do, five steps, because it's in this feeling that I get, and then when I'm putting together their whole vision. I'm creating a story.
Yeah.
You know, it has to have a story to it. It can't just be, well, I like this pink couch and this blue thing and that and all. There's a
Yeah.
reason why everything comes together. And the clearer I have a vision, the story, the easier it is to make decisions.
Because things obviously fit or they don't at that
Right.
point,
Right. And there's not
right?
just one path. I mean, it could be this, this, or this, but it definitely isn't that, that, or that, right?
Right.
So it
Exactly.
starts eliminating and picking through the debris. And frankly, I love clients just like yourself, because if you were good at design, you'd be doing it. Just like
Right,
if I was good
I
at accounting, I would do the accounting. But I'm like, no, I'm gonna go get a professional to do it because I'm gonna save myself time. I'm gonna save myself
Oh, yeah.
angst. I'm gonna save myself money because I'm not gonna make 10 mistakes and then figure out, okay, this is what I really wanted.
Right. Well, the interesting thing is, my sister has the eye. I call it the eye. She has the eye. But she always will call a professional anyway, because she'll say, here's what I'm thinking, here's what I think it should look like. So she has very, very good artistic prowess, if you will. But she uses the interior designer to give her new ideas, to make sure that the function is there, to ask her all the right questions, to make sure it really is something that she's going to love at the end.
Well,
And so, yeah.
I mean, that is a way to do it if you and many of my clients do have taste or the eye. What they don't have is the knowledge of what's available. I'm seeing new
Right.
product introductions all the time. I constantly have vendors come to my office to show the new fabric samples or finish samples or furniture pieces. It happens like twice a year. There's a trade show in High Point, North Carolina, which is a
Yep.
furniture capital. And you know, they're every time the manufacturers are coming up with new collections, new product to present. So as a layperson, you don't have access to that. You're not doing it every day. And it is really a lost opportunity not to have not to take advantage of that. When you go into the retailers that, you know, that we know, like Crate and Barrel or Pottery Barn, they have a certain aesthetic and they're only going to keep to the aesthetic. But there are so many more manufacturers, so many other opportunities and options that are available
Right.
that you can't possibly know. Just like, well, I guess like the accountant, I don't know where all my tax write-offs are. Like they should, you know, they know where, okay, do this and do that, you know. I don't know. And as the tax code is changing, then they can keep me alerted. That is the advantage of working with an interior designer, because they can cut through everything. They go deeper than what is readily available, what is on a
Yeah.
showroom floor. And if you're working with a designer, I would say that is an opportunity to stretch yourself, because the one of the issues for me in design is to have longevity in the design, that
Yeah.
you're going to love it not just today or tomorrow, but 5 years from now. And it's going to feel fresh. It's going to offer that some excitement, some interest. You're not going to get bored of it.
Right. Okay, so one of your differentiators, and probably a huge differentiator for you, is that you yourself are vegan and you're passionate about making sure that interior design is done with non-cruel products. So can you talk a little bit about A, why you became vegan yourself, and then B, how do you incorporate that into your work?
Absolutely. I love this question because I'm an avid, crazy vegan person. I've calmed myself down a bit, but 10 years ago, I decided to just, oh, I was, you know, trying out different diets. And I thought, okay, I'll try being vegan. What the heck? I'll be vegan and I'll do that for a while. And if it doesn't work, well, I'll change. About a week or two into this new, actually, at this point, it was just really my diet cho choices. I went down a rabbit hole and I learned all about the prolific use of animal products and how we as humans are using and abusing animals to acquire them. I mean, there's just no way to get an animal product without pretty much killing the
Killing the
animals,
animal,
right?
right.
It's violent, it's traumatic, and then we have to raise them, and so they're all considered a commodity. When it's a commodity versus a sentient being, there is no concern over the feelings, over the welfare of the animal. And I just thought, and so it became, it didn't, it that was my choice. At that point, there was no turning back. And it was very easy to stay vegan in my mind. It wasn't like, oh, well, should I? Shouldn't I? No. I've already decided that's it. And that's how it's been ever since. Very quickly, I turned from the diet part into the rest of my life as I'm looking and I'm like, oh my goodness, interior design is prolific in animal products. And I can't support that. I mean, I'm being a hypocrite. I'm saying I'm not going to eat animals for here and I'm going to like take care of them. And yet on this side, I'm like, yeah, but I'll sell them to make money. Like, no, I can't do that. I had to align my personal choices with my business principles. And I started, cutting out, reducing, because as I'm learning, I also, as I'm going forward, I'm learning about, wow, I didn't even consider that there would be an animal product in this particular piece of furniture. There are animal products that we can see visually, like leather. If you see a leather sofa, you're like, okay, that's an animal product on the sofa, on the chair, whatever.
If
So
it's
there's,
real leather, yes.
right, if it's real leather,
Yes.
right? So there's that. But, and then there's wool, like in carpets. Silk, which is used in curtains and tapestries, etc. So, but then there starts to being the kind of hidden pieces, which is like down. Well, down you don't visually see when you're there, the stuffing inside pillows, inside upholstery. And you have to be vigilant to say, okay, this isn't a leather sofa, this is a fabric sofa, but are you using any down product in it? And then find the alternatives, which they are, because people do have allergies to down. So,
I
but you,
do, actually.
right. So then you have to start, you have to make sure that you specify that, because it is not always the go-to that it's going to be down free.
Well, let me ask you this,
Yeah.
though, because for wool and for down, you don't have to kill the animal necessarily. So is it the cruelty aspect of
Absolutely,
that?
definitely,
Okay.
because we're still using the, and this is a great question, and this is one that is I'm asked a lot, is the in the wool, yes, we are just taking
The
the
hair,
hair
basically.
from the animal, but we have created these, and we breed the sheep to have more crinkles in the skin, because then there's more surface layer. So instead of it being like more smooth, it the more wrinkles it has, then the more hair that it can grow, and then it has to be sheared, right? So when you're shearing something, and the shearers, they are making money on how fast can they shear. So you can imagine shearing something that is smooth a lot easier. When you're shearing something that is wrinkly like that, and you're the shearer, and you make money on how fast can you shear. You're thinking of this animal as not as a sentient being, but as a commodity. How fast can I do this? And it's abusive. You have to hold it down. It's not, it's, and they're hurt, and it's just not a nice industry. And the sheep never said, hey, take my wool. Like, you can have my hair. And they're bred to continue to be, until there's such time that they are no longer useful. Then what happens? See ya.
Yeah.
So it is still a
Wow,
commodity,
yeah.
right? So, yeah, that's
So
a good question. Yeah.
give me some examples of products that you found that you were surprised have a component of animal product in them.
Well, I guess not right away, but sort of little later on, I was talking about the glue in, I guess I had overheard something. I'm always researching, okay, what is some new product? What are vegan products? But we were talking about glue, and I realized that traditionally, furniture was put together with hide glue. So, and hide glue is melting the hides of very, donkey skins, for instance. That's a big one. And using that glue, I'm making a glue, and traditionally that's what it was used because it has a good viscosity. It allows you for some manipulation. It doesn't dry so quickly, but it dries fast enough. I mean, it's got some good elements to it, but it's still animal product.
Yeah.
Now, if you're purchasing product that is made abroad, it's hard to identify whether that is going to be like hide glue or not. And
Yeah.
probably more likely it will be
Oh, okay.
in the US, less likely because we have other glues that we can use that are man-made. I asked one of my vendors, a furniture maker. They've been making furniture for y years, or a very old company, and I said to the vendor, "Oh, well, can you tell me, what kind of glue you use? Because I'm vegan, I want to make sure that you're not using hide glue." He's like, "Risha, come on, I've been doing this for 40 years, and nobody has ever asked me about what kind of glue I'm using." I'm like, "Well,
It's
you gotta go and ask him
my
and come back to
turn.
yeah,
Yeah.
yeah."
Welcome to
So,
the future.
yeah. And so it's in these little ways that often it's not a shock, but it's like, oh yeah, like
Yeah, well,
what?
I
I
mean,
didn't think of that.
a common phrase is we're sending the horse to the glue factory.
Okay.
And, people don't stop to think there's a reason why that phrase is said,
Right,
at least here
exactly.
in the South. I don't know about
No,
in New
but it is true. Yeah, it is true.
Jersey,
Absolutely.
but yeah.
And so it's in those tiny little elements of furniture and interior design, which it's hard to completely eradicate animal. So I feel very confident that I would say 99% of my products are, but if there's something. And if I do it custom, the more custom, the easier it is to make sure,
Oh, yeah.
right? But if it's a more stock product or there are no customizations on it, then and it's made abroad, I can't say with 100% certainty that the glue isn't high glue. But
Right.
what I do say is that the steps that I'm making are ahead of what I used to do, what we were doing before. And we can only just be a little better every day. And that's kind of my motto. Okay, it's better. It's not perfect,
Yes.
but you can't be
Well,
perfect.
it's a lot better. It's a lot
Yeah.
better. How do you convince, or do you have to convince other interior designers to try this method, or is
Well,
it hard to do? It's hard
It's
to
hard to do. People don't want to be told what to do, and I can respect that.
do.
I just use my platform, my voice as education and awareness, and people will make their own decisions. I don't necessarily have only vegans coming to me for interior design. I have lots of different types of clients coming to
Oh,
me,
sure, yeah.
right? And the be added benefit is they get a vegan design. So, they don't necessarily are saying I want vegan design. They love my aesthetic, they love the way I work, they love who I am, and they've signed on with me. And then I just make sure that I'm not compromising their aesthetic by using like by not using animal products, which is getting easier and easier all the time to do.
That's great. That's perfect. Well, I have three questions that I ask at the end of every interview. Before I do that, do you have any words of wisdom for those who are looking for an interior, I almost said instructional designer because that's what interior designer. Any words of wisdom for those folks?
Yeah, use an interior designer if you're doing a project. They're going to make sure that it stays on track and gets done, because that it's very easy to get distracted when you're doing it yourself. But they're also
Yes.
going to give you, like you said, your sister who uses the interior design, they're going to give you a different perspective, and much broader, because they have the experience of being in the field and having done this hundreds of times. And they're going to be able to see it from a new point of view. Now, that being said, doesn't mean it's always, immediately it's going to work for you, but it's having that conversation and seeing the opportunities that you can improve and elevate your project. And I think that, on that last note would be, it is an opportunity to elevate your project. It goes from something that, if you're not an interior designer, that can be lacking in the details that are necessary to really level up your whole project. So you have the conversation with an interior designer, talk to them, ask some questions, and find out how they work, and make sure that you like them or that you feel comfortable with them, because you will be sharing lots of information about you and your life, and you have to feel comfortable with the person that you're going to be working with.
Well, thank you so much for that because I do agree that, if possible, get someone who knows what they're doing, get an expert. Why not? You do what you do best and we'll take it from there.
Exactly.
Sounds good. Okay, so I have three questions. The first one, if you could close your eyes just for a moment. In your mind's eye, describe what you see when I say the words wise woman.
I see a vibrant, energetic woman who is secure in the knowledge that she brings. And is there to not just support herself, but in supporting herself, bringing along others to be part of like the bigger community.
Absolutely. I hear that a lot about it's not just about me, it's the community.
Absolutely. I
Perfect.
agree. But you have to start with you.
Yes.
Because you're no good unless you're good to yourself.
Absolutely. Okay, my next question. Where do you like to roam?
Like to roam? Well, I am a traveler. I like to travel.
Okay.
So, I have a whole big bucket list, but and I hit one l last year. I went to Greece. I mean, I love Greece.
That's
So,
on my bucket list
yeah.
too.
But right now, my biggest desire is, I'm a dancer, so I'm learning Argentine tango, and then have a plan to go to
Oh.
Argentina and dance in the cafes. That's right
Oh,
now what
that
I want
sounds
to
wonderful.
do.
I love that. I'm a dancer too, but not like a real dancer. I
You
just like to dance.
can be everything. You just because you like to, you're not a real dancer. You are. If you dance, you're a real dancer.
There we go. The final question is, what makes you restless in a good way?
Restless in a good way. I guess for me, restless in a good way is inaction, like, because that means indecision. So, when I'm indecisive and then I'm lacking the motivation, to go and do something, that makes me restless. So the more decisive I can be means the more action I can take that is directed towards that decision that's going to resolve whatever issue or move me forward, whatever it is. So that makes me restless.
Oh wow, that's great, because I was thinking when you were saying that, the thought that occurred to me was if there's something in my way or something niggling at me, the sooner I can get rid of it, the sooner I can get around it or over it or whatever, the better I feel and the more productive I can be for everybody else.
Yeah, absolutely. Love
Perfect.
it.
Well, thank you so much, Risha. How can people get a hold of you?
Follow me on Instagram, Walden Interiors. You can email me, Risha@walden-interiors.com. I'm on Facebook, Walden Interiors. You can call me. I'd love to have chat with anybody who's interested or wanting to know more about interior design. Yeah, I'm just or Google me, Risha Walden, Walden Interiors. I'm there.
All right. Well, I'll put all of that in the show
Okay,
notes.
thanks.
And guys, if you are looking for an interior designer, and in particular, if you are vegan and or would like to furnish your home or your space without animal cruelty, you know who to go to first, Risha.
Thanks.
So,
Thanks so
Risha,
much.
thank you for everything, and we'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, Julie.
Julie Noonan here. Thank you so much for listening to Roaming with Restless Women. If you're a successful senior woman leader who would like to be on this program, please visit podcast.intuitivewisdomcoach.com. If you enjoyed this interview, please share this episode on social media and make sure to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. Your thumbs ups and reviews go a long way.